right. Good morning and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And boy, am I excited about my next guest. None other than Mr. Billy Young, all the way from Arizona. But a friend, a longtime friend, and a radio man. You know, I remember before I even thought about having an opportunity to get into radio, I used to listen to Mr. Billy Young back home in Milwaukee. And Billy Young ran the radio station. He ran the local radio station, and all of the different guests, hosts, and the hosts that he had on were really prominent, had major impact in my life. And little did I know at the time that listening to all those great hosts that Mr. Young lined up would have a major impact on me and my future and what I would be doing. So it is because of men like Billy Young and the commentary that I used to always hear him talk about on his show. It was always riveting to me and had a major impact on my life. And it is with that backdrop that I'm honored to have Mr. Billy Young on the air. How you doing, Billy?
Thank you, man. I'm blessed. And I just try and appreciate the blessings that are provided for us each day, man, that are given to us.
Look, man,
thank you for having me.
Let's have at it, man, because you and I are the same age. You were born out west. I'm a central guy, part of this the nation guy and Midwestern. But the one thing that you and I both have in common, outside of the fact that, you know, we were born at the time that we were born and that we are men of color, is that we were born in a different time in America.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on in this nation, man? What is happening? You and I see it, and people from our generation see it, as it is coming apart at the seams, and it's almost as if it can't be stopped or people aren't willing to stop it.
Well, you know, I mean, sometimes I think we have to put things in perspective. Despite the urgency of the day, we lose perspective from an historic standpoint, then we are probably, elongating our suffering without understanding. We've been through, I grew up in Los Angeles, California, but I spent almost 30 years in Milwaukee. And often I use my athletic officiating background in the stories that I tell because it's so analogous to many of the situations that I face in life. First of all, it's young people. And for those of us who sort of come through empowerment programs, we've come through our journeys with elders and mentors and advisors who have assisted us. We know that we're standing on the shoulders of others. Part of the problem, Earl, is that the young people today don't have those same role models. They don't have the same support system in their families and in their communities, and therefore, their direction suffers.
So, Billy, let me say this, because I don't want to put the focus on young people. I want to put the focus on America itself and the fact that America herself is coming apart at the seams. All of the things that are happening in this country right now.
The question I would ask, though, is it any different in a sense today than it ever has been in the history of this country?
Well, there's always been division. You know, there's no question.
And clearly, but I mean, in terms of the social times, I mean, I've always thought about, man, living in the wild, wild west, and perhaps that's where we are right now. You know, when you can just ride wherever you wanted to, you got your horse, you can pull out your gun if you get into an argument with somebody, and it's settled on the street. Doesn't mean there was corruption back there. It just means, man, that we progressed to a point now where basically we're living a wild, wild west life with a whole lot of other people, you know, whose actions, our actions affect. But from a moral standpoint, man, I mean, we're coming up to the scenes. It just means, what has happened over my lifetime is that the haves pretty much have gotten more, and the have-nots have pretty much gotten less, man. But the divide has gotten wider. And where we stand now politically in this country is at a point where basically you have people who are 180 degrees opposed, and there really does not seem to be any room for a compromise.
So, and therein lies the dilemma that is going to be the destruction of this nation and this experiment called America, because there's always been a divide economically, you know, in this country, but not to the degree that it is now. And even though we are watching, as you and I and most other people know, the middle class of this nation, which was the backbone during your and my lifetimes, going down the tubes, and those middle class families and people who believe in the American institution and all of those things are realizing that they've been had, and a divide that is now political, based on either party, either what side of the aisle you are on, can't be a positive thing or a harbinger for the future of this nation, Billy. It just can't.
Well, there are a couple of things, Ben, that are going on right now, I think, that ultimately are going to lead to some sort of a dynamic response. Number one is the violence, is the gun violence. And when you talk about a solution potentially for that, and I heard you guys talking yesterday relative to the Second Amendment, relative to the attitude of Americans to possess firearms. I'm a gun owner. The United States of America, clearly, without any question, is absolutely the most violent nation on planet Earth. And when you ask about the proliferation and availability of firearms, and, you know, even to degree of, you know, you're talking about the necessity or the right to own assault or weapons and those kinds of things. The mentality in this country, man, is just completely different from the countries around the world. Anybody who's had an opportunity to travel, a lot of this is perspective, man. You know, and I say young people because ultimately, in my mind, it's the young people who are going to have to solve this problem. It's their peers, in very often, that they're dealing with, people who are ostracized, people who are further outside the system, people who don't get up in the morning to go to work. They get up in the morning, if they get up in the morning, to survive what their next meal is going to be. They don't look the same way we do. So life becomes, obviously, less valuable, in their opinion. And it's not the same norm that many people in Milwaukee, many people in Milwaukee are just not in that same frame of mind. We are, I would agree with you that we are at a point where we are so divided that many people just cannot see a compromise. And the only way that's going to happen, like I'm saying, man, is with these young folks who are coming up in a different world that talks about diversity and inclusion, and we can offer them advice, we can offer them a glance at history, but ultimately the solution is going to have to come with the next couple of generations.
So, Billy, I don't disagree with you, because I always say on these airwaves that it's not your and my time anymore, for the most part, in our generation. And so we do still have a responsibility, you're in my generation, to work as hard as we can to make it better for those who come after us. That's been what this has always been about. And those who have come before have always sacrificed to make it better. But it just so seems that you're in my generation is stuck in something that we don't want to solve. And it's our selfishness.
It's a mentality, man. I mean, we were talking about sort of where a lot of this emanated in our lifetime. I grew up in California. Ronald Reagan was my governor for several years.
Oh, yeah.
Well. And he eventually went on to become president of the United States. And in my mind, and for those people who know that sort of that historical timeline, Donald Trump is nothing more than a reflection or the latest iteration of a Hollywood media entity. And in the same way that many of these celebrities and folks who've gotten to a point where they feel that their philosophy of life is godlike, I mentioned Kanye West in jest, but the point is a lot of these people who have millions and millions and millions of people following them because of the advancements of social media these days, not only feel that they're justified, but have millions of people who are deluded enough to think that these people are actually leaders and politicians. And ultimately, what do? Because of their, attraction through media, develop bases which eventually end up electing, you know, getting these folks elected to office. These are not leaders. These are not people who can lead us toward moral goals and toward economic prosperity. So all of that, that the political process from that standpoint has become so muddied and defined and ill-conceived that the political process is only a part of what we need to do.
You know, Billy,
fixing this entire thing.
You talked about the moral part of this, and that's where I always like to challenge that. Because at the root, that's at the root of the problem. And then you may, and people may even ask the question, has there ever been a moral imperative in this nation? Even though you constantly hear people talking about it was founded under the Judeo-Christian ethic, you know, have you ever seen it practiced in this nation? And maybe because at the root of all of it, Billy, is that there is no morality in this nation. And if you look at the history of it, you know, there are people who can say, well, no, there hasn't ever been that. Even though we go around the world and poke our chests out and say, you know, we are the moral leaders of the world. We've got to go to a break. Have to go to a break. On the line, my good friend Billy Young. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You, too, can join the conversation. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is my good friend, Mr. Billy Young from Arizona. You know, Billy, before we went to a break, I was just talking about morality. And, you know, whether you believe in a deity or a being, whoever that is, whoever and whatever your God is, it certainly should be the center of your life. And I know I'm not, you know, here trying to say that that's my opinion. Okay, that's just my opinion. But certainly, when you don't have any of those things, and somehow we live a life that's about me, myself, and I. You get into situations like we are in right now in this country. It makes people right. believe that they are superior to someone else because we only look at ourselves. And that is, to me, Billy, that is why at the root of that way of thinking, we can have a young man that we just had that can, you know, load up, you know, his guns. His automatic weapons that his father bought him, even knowing that he faced some difficult difficulties in his life, right. Emotional problems. And yet his daddy would buy him those weapons. I don't know it's what he would buy them those kind of weapons for and what he would think in the end would happen. But here's a young man who, and we see it over and over again, has no moral compass whatsoever. We see it in central cities across the nation, Billy. And so that's kind of at the root of all these things we're talking about. The lack of, well, you of say, moral fiber.
Yeah, we say that, we sort of mention that with a backdrop of many of our religious leaders also suffering persecution. Many of our religious leaders also falling short. But these are the challenges that we face here in 2022. I grew up in Los Angeles, California, man, and I wonder, you know, I've often thought about the fact, because I was in the radio business, and at that particular time, I'm talking about R&B radio, playing music. So the political aspects of what we were going through were sort of put on the back burner, or they were sort of tossed aside to AM radio, or certainly didn't have the same, popularity as playing music and dealing with artists and going to concerts and all of that. What changed? You know, what changed in our lifetime between the time I was doing morning drive radio during the 1984 Olympics in L.A., and here now, or even during the time 10 years ago, man, when I was a general manager at 1290. And we, you know, at that time were driven both by economic necessity and by community need to drop music and start talking, to let the music go, to let the finger popping go, and to sit down and begin to deal with issues that were progressively and disproportionately affecting the people in our community. What was it? What happened, man? What changed? And the only thing I can tell you from a historic standpoint, particularly being in L.A. and going to school in New York and having had the opportunity to see big city life from that standpoint, while the mentality was the same, much of what was going on in L.A. and or New York was light years progressively beyond Milwaukee. Milwaukee, unfortunately, has always suffered from our community with this lack of perspective, slowness to advance. Many of the kids, man, many of the people I've run into Milwaukee, in Central City, Milwaukee, the 4 or 5 blocks, 10 blocks they grew, that's all, they've never been to the lake, never been to Green Bay, never been to Chicago. And when you grow up in an environment, all you see is your uncle going to jail, you see your friends dying on the street, and your days are spent on your phone, days are spent watching this stuff on TV.
So Billy.
And you have no perspective beyond
that. So Billy, let me say this, because I'm really kind of looking at a broader discussion, because if you look at rural America, those people grow up with that same kind of dynamic. That is where they have been born and bred, and barring, you know, some miracle, they don't get out of that. But I'm talking about a broader dynamic with this nation right now, where the separation, even from rural America to urban America, is broader than it's ever been, even though go ahead. Go ahead. Make your point.
I mean, the point I'm trying to make, man, is right. We have people on both ends. The people that you're describing, I remember, man, coming to Milwaukee, going to Summerfest. Summerfest is the biggest event that people in much was ever go to, man. Right? They come from all over. Wausau, Stevens Point, La Crosse. I've traveled the state as a referee. I've traveled the state in many capacities relative to, again, empowerment and engagement on different committees. And the same, we're talking the same thing. So the question becomes, Earl, how do these people who are in both directions, opposite directions. Where's the median in which we all can meet in a humane way and address the issues that are going on? Will that, is that possible? And now you throw, you also throw in the fact that that Milwaukee in particular, again, Wisconsin even has, in a general sense, Matt, you know, clearly is, has always been very conservative, has always been behind the times. But what is driving that is the separation between basically the population. It's a population dynamic. You know, you've got most of your African Americans down in the southeastern Wisconsin. If Madison is the town that politically drives what happens in Wisconsin, then you have that, those constituents. But that's it. Green Bay is, Green Bay has no political
So, Billy, so I understand the dynamic in the state of Wisconsin because this is where I've lived. And so when I understand that, people of color, Black people only make up 5% of the population in the state. I understand that dynamic. But I want to talk about a national level of what's happening, because what's happening in Wisconsin is what's happening in Michigan, in Iowa, in New York, in Detroit, in Philadelphia. There is something happening in this nation that is going to be at the root of a failure that is monumental, that we may not be able to recover from. Got to go to a break quick.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, Cat and the Hurricane. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
For the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, I'm Luke Mathers with your headlines. According to the Lake County Sheriff's Office in Illinois, the gunman that fired into the Highland Park Parade, killing 7 individuals and wounding more than 30, traveled to the Madison area and, quote, seriously contemplated committing a similar act of violence at a celebration in Madison on July 4th. Authorities say Robert Cremo III had a weapon and 60 rounds of ammunition, but did not, quote, put enough thought and research into it, end quote, and headed back to Illinois. Cremo confessed to the crimes he committed to authorities in Illinois, but it is unknown at this time why he traveled to the Madison area and contemplated committing a similarly egregious attack near University Avenue in Middleton. Mainly cloudy skies expected today with a chance for scattered showers, light and variable winds, and a high of 81 degrees. There's a 60% chance for rain this evening with a chance for thunderstorms and an overnight low of 62 degrees. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Billy Young, all the way from Arizona. And Billy, I just wanted to, let me read this paragraph quickly, because this is the stuff that I'm talking about. This is Daniel Bice this morning in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I've heard conservative commentators, as they are attacking Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes as he seeks to win the nomination, Democratic nomination to run for United States Senate against Ron Johnson. This is the headline. Daniel Bice, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes said America is rich and powerful because of forced labor on stolen land. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, the leading Democrat in the U.S. Senate primary next month, came under fire from Republicans over the 4th of July holiday for past criticisms he's made about the nation's founding fathers and the founding of the country. But Barnes offered his longest and clearest take on the issue during the first candidate forum of the Democratic primary. In a live Facebook discussion hosted by Citizen Action of Wisconsin on November 16th last year, the candidates were asked how they would respond to Republican criticism of critical race theory, the idea that racism pervades America's laws and institutions. Barnes said the issue was a very real issue for him because he comes from a lot of forced migration into the country. He also accused other politicians of ducking issues of race and slavery. The United States of America is the most wealthy. It is the most powerful nation on earth, Barnes said, and that is because of forced labor or stolen land. We have to teach the reality of why we are where we are, or else people will just assume it just happened this way because of hard work, because of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. So Billy, Barnes' remarks made resonant with many Democrats. The language is reminiscent in some ways of the New York Times controversial 1619 Project. He is under heavy assault by Republicans on Republican radio stations. What did he say in error, Billy?
What I just heard you say was that there are some Republicans who are tired of hearing the same old stuff. They're tired of hearing about the same old
truth. Stuff. Truth.
Okay, man, look, here's the deal. Let's break this down, brother. And this is only, you know, again, historically, I can go from what's happened in my lifetime and the research we've done, what's documented, et cetera. I don't know. As you peel back every, you know, each layer of historical onion, you'll understand whatever happened at the turn of the century and even before affected this country through depressions, through wars, et cetera. But in our lifetimes, the dynamic shift that happened was related to the Vietnam War and to the election of Ronald Reagan. That was a political shift. And we knew in California, because in California, he was the governor. And one of the first things that Ronald Reagan did as governor in California was to get rid of all of these public assistance, all of these taxpayer-supported services, recreational opportunities, and a whole plethora of programs that kept many in the community engaged, employed, and a quality of life.
Or safe when with mental illness. He put people with mental illnesses out on the street.
Okay, so I mean, but again, at the same time, though, during Ronald Reagan's presidency, as he rode on his horse into the White House with his 10-gallon hat, there were more millionaires created in America during his reign as president than in any other time in history. Granted, you know, as time went along, more, you know, monetarily, financially, those figures percentage-wise increased as salaries went up, et cetera, but the point is, there were more millionaires, and among those that were created were several prominent, many prominent African Americans. That is in part, it was a trickle down, right? If we do better at the top, then that will trickle down to those.
Yeah, because morally, he was saying that those who had more would then share. That never happened.
Well, it never happened. And to this day, that's the same mentality. And what's happened is economically, the gap has gotten wider because you can't argue. There are a lot of wealthy African Americans and minorities, certainly more percentage-wise, I don't know, in this country than ever before. Man, these people are making money handed. In fact, that's part of the problem, is that many of these young people or many of these people who come into money, they don't know what to do with themselves, man. And they're doing things that are having repercussions, having moral repercussions on the people that are following them, and hearing these philosophies of independence, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, here's the point, man. So it's economic. In many ways, it's economic. In fact, in vast ways. So the point is that today, fast forward to today, many of those people who adhere to the philosophy of that side, Trump and those folks, have been displaced. They've lost their jobs.
That's correct.
They have been economically impacted, and they are bitter, and they are upset at the current, meaning between the time all of this has happened over the last couple of, at the last decade or so, this shift. And they want to change, man. They want to change. And now you include in that this fringe element. And understand, man, this country has always sort of had knee-jerk reaction to this fringe element. The fringe element that took over the broken
White House. The Capitol, yeah.
In Congress, right? January 6th. That fringe element. But that's where we are now, man. That's where we are. So we have, those people who... And, what do you think the rest of the world is when they look at us now? But anybody, again, who's had a chance to travel, who's seen, been to us, there's plenty of prosperity, happiness, and peace in many countries around the world who look at the United States, as an abhorrence, man. The stuff that goes on here, the number, and here's the other thing, man, and then, again, economically, what has that resulted in? Next time you go to L.A., or warm climate, I'm out here in Arizona, just look at the number of homeless.
Homeless people from all over the nation wind up where it's warm, because...
But I'm saying, but in my lifetime, Earl... There are now actually communities just outside of Marina Del Rey, California. There's along the channel, a little roadway that has become, and this is symbolic of many, multiple areas in Southern California. Yeah, you're right, in some warm areas. San Francisco, I understand, is bad too. But these are communities, man, broken down RVs, cars that don't work. These people live there. And they have generators, they have TVs, they have tents, but they can't afford house payments. And these are, do you think those people are, first of all, they may not even be involved in the political process. And if they are, do you think that they would support, a government that has placed them in a position where they can't even have a home anymore?
Well, so clearly there's two sides of the coin. They're those people who are doing extremely well. That's always been that way, that there were people doing extremely well. But the other side of the coin wasn't as damaging as it is now, because going back 40 years, 30 years, industry was in the country. And so middle class people could live middle class lifestyles without having, degrees. And so many people.
What is that? What has that resulted in? That has resulted in
anger.
Historically,
yes.
Well,
and frustration.
The logistics or the mechanics of the plan that emanated, that came from that Ronald Reagan model, also included there was a punitive side, prevention, intervention. There was a suppression side. And if you go back documented, there's several really, really great documentaries on Netflix in particular, one called 13th or 13. And it documents, we never thought, many people in this country never thought that we would get caught, at least, trading arms for drugs to the Contras, which was, again, the beginning of an organized, see, people don't want to hear this. Here's the point, Earl. You can't argue the fact that the drug trade in this country, it's documented, was aimed directly at large central cities in L.A. and spread to the rest of the country, became a business. And at the same time, a plan of incarceration of African-American males began that basically tripled or quadrupled the population of African-American males around the country, resulting in the fact that in African black homes, no father, no uncle, no big brothers, no role models, no discipline, implosion of the black family.
So man. Billy, you and I know the history of what took place in central cities and black communities under Ronald Reagan and all of those things. But we make up 12% of the population of this country. 13, whatever, 12, 13, maybe 14, whatever it is. It's in that age, in that number breakdown, numerical breakdown. But what I'm saying to you is that this nation, the broader numbers in this nation are suffering. They have never suffered before, and they are angry. And so their anger is based on somebody did this to us.
Of course. Somebody's
got to
be to blame.
I know. But so because they can blame, I'm challenging the fact that the people that they are blaming, they're blaming the wrong people. And so.
Billy, hold the thought.
Got to go to a break. My good friend Billy Young, all the way from Arizona, is on the line. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. But I know change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. A long time coming. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number on the line. My good friend Billy Young from Arizona. And Billy, I will say this, and then I'll back off for a moment. There's always been Democrats and Republicans. And as I said before, you and I are the same age, from the same era. I saw the same things you saw. And the impact of what has happened in our lives, and even going back to those times, you know, even going back to when I was a little boy in the 60s and early 70s, and Ronald Reagan that came even further down the line, and where we are today, and we knowing that Ronald Reagan was the first of a long list of changing the direction and trajectory of the conservative movement. And I'm not saying that it had never been good, but it certainly changed under Ronald Reagan for the worse, and a whole list of them who came after him. But Donald Trump, who even made Ronald Reagan look like a choir boy. But the impact. I know the history of what Ronald Reagan did. I mean, Billy, I lived the same time you did.
He was the granddaddy, man.
I know, but he wasn't. He wasn't as vicious as Donald Trump, because the thing about, and I don't, so let me finish this point. So because of what is happening now with either you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, and there won't be any dialogue or any conversation in what is in the best interest of this nation. If you're a Democrat, I don't want to talk to you. I'm a Republican. We're in charge. We're going to do it our way. All of that kind of mentality sets up no opportunity for conversation at a time when a nation that is no longer the most outside of our economy in the military, the most powerful nation on earth, a changing dynamic that Americans, who only make up 4% of the global population, no longer these other nations realize who we are, at a time when a nation should be pulling together. We are not.
And to that, you say what?
That is at the root of what the history, I mean, the future.
So we have some people. We have a growing generation of people who've checked out. They don't want to hear it, Earl. I mean, so you described the current state of affairs, and to that, your response is what?
So here's my response. Whether or not a segment of the population doesn't want to hear it does not mean we dummy up and allow them to lead things down the path that they're leading them to. Well, critical race theory.
So we don't want to deal
with the truth of the history of the nation. We want to push that, sweep that under the rug. You know.
So what's our next? So what's the next step?
The next step.
Here's man.
You asked me the question. The next step is the masses of the American people should no longer and need to realize their power. Need to understand that it is a time that there has to be a mobilization of the masses of the people who are being taken advantage of. You talked about historically about the things that have happened in this country, and the people rose up, Billy. So the people are going to have to rise up again. Or at least, least there be no future.
The people have to rise up. All right. Good luck on that.
You don't think that's going to be possible?
Wow.
And when I say Billy, when I say rise up, I don't mean to take on the government. We just saw people rise up on the right. They went to Washington D.C. and they did what they did, right?
And the end result of that, is what?
Nothing.
Further divisiveness. You know, I mean, some people got, you know, were punished. You know, sort of, you know, symbolically, if you will.
Hey, Billy, I'm talking about that again, and that was a small segment of the population. What I'm saying to you is the larger segment of this population is hurting both black and white, both rural and from urban centers.
Correct.
And at some point
Earl,
in time,
go ahead. Here's the deal, man. Why is it that many people do not want to sort of own, either recognize, own, or even dialogue about what you just said? Why is it? I mean, there's a what you described really goes back to, in fact, what was the term that Mandela Barnes used that you referenced? They don't want to hear about that anymore, man. You know, when those kinds of things come up, references to slavery, references to forced labor, man, people don't want to hear it. But then you also referenced a 14% or 4%. For many companies, many individuals, many organizations, many businesses, many civic leaders, many of the community, they are not talking about percentages anymore, Earl. What they are talking about is diversity and inclusion. Now, maybe in the back rooms of some of these high-end corporate entities, there's a number that they're looking at as far as the workforce, but that's not the discussion. The discussion is diversity and inclusion. And what does that look like? That's what you have to define. People of color, because diversity and inclusion means it doesn't matter where you live, you're not defined by your zip code nor your color. And if those people are really about inclusion, now we start some discussion about
Billy,
economic empowerment. That's where it is.
We talked about that in the 80s, diversity and inclusion. And at the root of we're still talking about it, Billy. And it's not happening.
And I'm going to disagree with you.
Well,
happening gradually because I'm telling you, in my network and the people that we're talking about dealing with relative to youth and community empowerment, it is happening.
Hey, Billy, hang on. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
That you really love that band. Put yourself in Jesus' hands. Grandma's hands.